Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all aspects of AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. This week we'll discuss all the things we noticed from round 18 in the AFL to help you in your final push for fantasy glory in 2019. We have waiver wire pickups, Captain Risky, and your listener questions all coming up on the show as well. I'm Doss, and with the internet all fixed in his home in Ararat, the inferior rat, Stevie Fizz joins us once again. G'day, Mr. Fizz.
G'day, Doss, and g'day, listeners. And speaking, it's the superior rat. But there's two football teams in the superior rat. Unfortunately for one of them, was a bit of a tough day at the office on Saturday, unfortunately. The Eagles, the lesser team, let's say, they're not the heavily supported team. They're having a bit of a tough year, the Eagles, unfortunately. And on Saturday, they bowed down with the final score. Great Western just got over the line, 79 goals, 41, 515 to the Eagles, who did kick straight, at least, with the one goal. So it wasn't a great day for the Eagles, but it was a beautiful day in Ararat, of course.
That is shocking, Shane. So what was the final margin? 500 points?
509.
Wow. Yeah, so the inferior rat, as I was saying. Jonathan Crockett on deck as well. And talking of the most superior of all rats, Brett Ratten, he is back in the coach's box, just as you predicted. But his moment has come at the expense right now of your beloved Dogs.
Yeah, don't really care about real football. It's all about fantasy football. Most people are either in the midst of finals or about to embark on finals, just like we are in our home league. And there's one thing I've learnt is that you cannot rely on Seb Ross to win you your matchup. I had to rely on him today, and he surely cost me dearly a spot in the top two. But I'm wondering if I can maybe grab some of the team that played against the Ararat boys, goal kickers, and use their super coach points to get me over the line.
Would be a fine strategy. And shockingly, the Statesman has made it back for a second show in a row. I am truly sorry to all the listeners, but g'day, buddy. How are you?
I'm really glad to be talking draft tonight, and only draft footy, Doss.
Yes, we don't want to be talking about any salary cap nonsense on this show anymore. It's time for our round 18 review, checking out every game and all the things we noticed. First off, what did you see in the Adelaide Essendon game this week, Statesman?
Well, firstly, Brody Smith moved to a high half forward role, injecting some pace through the midfield, which Adelaide desperately need. I admit my first reaction was a bit of oh no, thinking that he'll only get his score up if he's behind the ball. But if this role continues, I would expect we'll see a spike in his scoring. So 133 this week, was named best on ground by the team too. So hopefully they won't look at the loss and put him back into that role. But if they keep him in that high half forward role, I would expect probably a 95 average from him, because it just gives him the freedom to roam around the midfield. The only thing that would cease that is if he would get a bit of attention. It also should create a little bit more of a scoring opportunity for the Adelaide defenders, as they've been having to share a fair bit of that rebound role and the kick-out roles this year. So taking one of those out of the mix, and we both saw Laurie Redd and Brody Smith drop away a little bit when Brown come back into the team. So hopefully you might see Rory Laird get back up. So it might be an opportunity to buy low on Rory Laird, but that just depends on where people are sitting. As expected, the Bombers' makeshift ruck department are giving up big points to opposition. So look for that for your captain option. So Jared Witts is next. So it should be a boom weekend for the young boy. I see Doss smiling because he's got him in a bit of a hashtag off-brand. And last but not least, I wanted to gather your thoughts, gentlemen. I just really looked closely at this game and saw one player who I actually felt a bit concerned on. And there's been reasonably big raps on him and his scoring potential, but I'm a little bit concerned that he might not be long for the best 22, and I'm talking about Langford. I see he's probably gains most of his points with his outside game, but his lack of pace, do you gentlemen think that this is the potential that might limit his long-term viability in both fantasy and possibly best 22?
Oh, look, it's a good point, Statesman. He got dropped a couple of weeks ago and I thought came back in as a laid out. And, his awareness for me probably isn't there. I think he's a good, can be a good player. And, look, I've picked him up in a home league last week with the upcoming Suns game. I think that's a match he can do some damage in. I'd just watch what's going to happen with Dyson Heppel next week because I reckon he's going to be being out. But I'd agree with Langford. His spot's not locked in.
Yeah, I mean, it would be also interesting to see, potentially with the coaching situation as well this off-season, whether anything can change in that regard. But I think what you're saying as well is maybe his physical profile in terms of, like you're saying, the speed around the ground. I think you and I talked off-air and I sort of mentioned, and I don't think it's necessarily a good comparison, but I was saying maybe he's similar to someone like a Blake Akers, who we always sort of thought might take off but never really did, and with the size sort of physical profile of him looks like a good fantasy potential player, but just can't quite get it going. But you did say that it's his speed that really bothers you, Statesman.
Absolutely. As an outside player, you need to have that burst of speed. I mean, endurance is hugely important, but the burst of speed, if you're going to be predominantly an outside player, is hugely important.
Yeah, and no, what I was laughing about before was when you said Laurie Red instead of Rory Led. Okay, on to Richmond Port with Laurie Red. What do you got for us in this game?
Yeah, that was a really interesting match. The Tigers are starting to roll, and it's such an even team. We saw last year they were actually quite hard to roster despite demolishing basically every team in real footy each week, which is just terrible. Hate seeing that as a fantasy football coach. It makes it quite hard to use players. And I just wonder if that's going to start to happen again. Noticed a lot of rotating of these smaller mid-type players. You know, you've got sort of Shane Edwards going back. You've got Liam Baker was playing in defence. It was quite an interesting mix, and we know that that's their great strength is they can rotate anyone anywhere. It was just quite surprising to see those guys bob up in the back line and Jaden Short out to a wing, that sort of thing. Robbie Gray continues his pure midfield role, just a massive number of CBAs. Just a bit of a quiet game if people were looking at his score saying what happened there. Wouldn't be super concerned, although I'd suspect Wines is going to come back into that team. And yeah, just on Jaden Short, it's been a bit meh since returning from his super long layoff. But again, like I was sort of saying, there's so much competition in that side now, and especially when you're looking at that half-back line. You've got Bashahuli's obviously had a really good season with a massive purple patch through it, but now you've got Brandon Ellis is back in form, even Jono's boy Nick Vlosten, and it seems like it's going to be hard. Like, the better they are, the harder it's going to be to score. Like, if that makes sense. Like, when you look at some of those teams where the bottom-end talent is really poor, you see the top-end guys are quite handy. I look at the Bulldogs, like, they just pump out, like, there's five or six guys who are superstars, and the bottom-end players are just trash. Yeah, what are you smiling about? What's going on here? He's smiling, and it's just evil. He's like Dr. Evil or something.
No, I know what it's to do with. It's salary cap crap. That's all. Oh. It's crap, Steve. You know we can't have this content in. Edit this all out. Anyway, so Tom Lynch as well has been bouncing back to some massive form lately. Do you see this maintaining with how the Richmond are up and about, or is this sort of just the matchup plays that have been helping him in the last few weeks?
Well, I think it can. They've got Collingwood next week, which I'm super excited. I think it's super interesting because we know Collingwood have performed well against them in their last two meetings, playing that sort of keepings off style, but Collingwood have been going through a bit of a tough stretch. So I'm interested to see that. But I think Riewoldt's sort of layoff and he's sort of building back to form, it's allowed Lynch to really roam up the ground and get on the end of a lot of marks. So maybe Collingwood's a tough matchup for Lynch, but he's certainly, you know, if Tigers get better, he might be a better, you know, F5 option for your teams.
Yeah, and wanted to flag with this one as well. In the VFL, we saw Nankervis return through the VFL this weekend, and could we see him back in action next week? Probably a potential likelihood. And if that, I mean, it's going to affect a few coaches with rolling with Soldo at the moment. And, of course, people holding Nank. I mean, he didn't play a whole heap, only the 13 hitouts and 8 disposals on the weekend.
I think it's really tough. And I'd say the guy who's actually really interesting for them is Chol. I reckon he's been really good. He did some really nice things. We know that Richmond have struggled with a second ruck. Maybe this is a good option for him. I don't know.
Yeah, he has looked good, and provided he's got that forward ability as well. Sort of, I guess that's why Geelong have been playing guys like Radical Air as well, just because he provides that role really well.
And Soldo's a better tap ruckman than Nank, so maybe they're getting sort of the best of both worlds. I don't know. It's an interesting mix.
Yeah. On to the next game, Blues Suns with Jono. What'd you see from Training Wheels Teague in this one?
Yeah, it was a pretty good game to watch, actually, despite two teams down the bottom. Paddy Cripps early on copped a knock to his knee and was limping around a little bit. Didn't affect him too much. I know he didn't have the best of games, but that was because at the CBA, Sean Lemons was actually just minding him. Wasn't a tag or anything, it was just basically blocking him getting to the ball, so he had no access to getting any sort of clearances on Saturday afternoon, and then also came off in the fourth quarter with a bit of an ankle restrap as well. So watch this space. We all thought Cripps was going to go absolutely ham, but if you listened to the show last week, I said inside mids had not been scoring well against the Suns. So Statesman obviously not listening to the show or what I have to say and sucked in.
That was the latter.
Okay. CBAs, I did track the CBAs on this game, and the Blues pretty much ran with the same three for this game in Murphy, Cripps, and Ed Curno since Teague has come back into this team. Curno's just gone straight back into the middle, and he's pumping out tons left, right, and centre. So sign up Teague for 5 years, and hey, look, Curno's probably might be floating around in the pool, but I highly doubt it anymore. We also called it with our waiver wire pickups and late week pickups that Mackay and Kaz Bolt would go ham. Both took 10 marks each, kicked a couple of goals each as well, both turning up in both formats as well. Even the defenders scored pretty well for Carlton as well. The Suns just bombing it inside 50 with no sort of plan whatsoever, and the likes of Wiedering were able to take intercept mark after intercept mark as well. So they've got the Bombers coming up this week, the Suns, so I'd be looking to grab any sort of defender or key forward that I can, really.
And Cade Simpson cracked a 90 in fantasy, which is being something we haven't seen all year. 90s in both formats. He hasn't done that since round 5. It has been since we've seen a 90 from Cade, so great.
Can't play
scenes.
The Suns every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, one thing I'd like to throw to the group as well. 4 snags from the big Menity. Will he remain in the league another year? It's a great stuff from Matt Kennedy, providing something at AFL level finally.
Well, look, he'd have to kick 4 snags every week because his pressure was horrible. 0 tackles, 1 mark, so he needs to do something. But maybe does play as that forward later, small forward role.
And it's a bit scary that his score was 61 after kicking 4 goals.
Goals no matter.
Okay, on to the next game, and that is the Giants versus the Pies. Bit of an upset against your Pies, Steve.
My former Pies. Yeah, and look, I haven't seen a team just get flat out beaten up like this for a while. The Giants were fast and physical, and man, did they leave their stamp on this game early. They looked like they wanted to hurt Collingwood, and Collingwood didn't handle it very well, I didn't think. So it was really interesting to see, and I quite liked it as my former team. And hashtag, Bucks out! Get that shit going again.
It's back.
A lot of the talk has been about Toby Green heading back into the midfield, and I think the reason that that's such a big move is that his scores have gone from sort of like the mid-60s to around 100, and that's fantastic for those coaches. But Zach Williams actually went back into the midfield in this match. I thought that was a really interesting move. Laid the 10 tackles. Maybe make, like, he's been sort of a good super coach player. I know he's been handy for Dream Team, but it might make him a bit more consistent for Dream Team if that sort of role's going to occur. We know he's quite a, you know, he's obviously a very good player. And really, is it really interesting because the commentators are going on, you know, the key forwards are doing so well. And it was the reason Collingwood lost the grand final last year. They couldn't handle key forwards. Well, they've gone in with a team where they've only got one defender over 6 foot two against the likes of Jeremy Cameron, who kicked six, Harry Himmelberg, who kicked four, Finlayson had three, Dawson Simpson got on the end of one, and we know Shane Mumford was roaming around there as well. If they're going up against key forwards with this lineup, they'd better be putting some damn good pressure on through the midfield, because they'll get smashed in the contested marks. I could only imagine what Handsome Tom would do to them next week. Like, it's, if I was a Collingwood fan, I'd be really worried. Darcy Moore needs to get back quick because they're in some serious strife, and I might even look to stream key forwards against them. I know their midfield's so good and all that, but it's a really interesting thing for me. And Collingwood, they lost by 8 goals, won the inside 50s 63-49. So maybe it's time to start rolling defenders back out against Collingwood at your will. Sam Reed had a big game. Sam J, or the other Sam Reed, number 50.
Can we quickly touch on as well, Taylor Adams made his return. A lot of people have been waiting for him. What do you think? Did he look all right out there? I mean, he scored pretty nice in the Dream Team, 111 and 97 Supercoach. I was surprised he ticked up towards 78% time on grounds what he played. I was thinking maybe they roll him back, you know, in the sire sort of time on ground, but they didn't. They rolled him straight back in.
No, I thought he was fine. Like, he played like Taylor Adams plays. I don't think they can do that because they're carrying guys like Sire.
Yeah,
so his size impact's been pretty ordinary. I know he missed a good chunk of the preseason and first half of the year, so I'd, you know, my expectations are quite limited for Sire.
And does Taylor Adams do the most amount of fall over handballs you've ever seen? Have you noticed that he does these dive forward handballs? And I reckon he clocks up about 3 to 4 per game at this rate.
Whatever you can do to get closer to your intended target for Taylor Adams, I am all for it. Sorry, Taylor. I know you're a big fan of the show.
All right, the Brisbane Lions and North Melbourne clash. Jono, you check that one out.
Yeah, the umpire's certainly helping Brisbane get over the line in this game, and wanted to see finals football return to Queensland because God knows they haven't seen it for about 10 years, I reckon. But Higgins in, Zeeble out of the midfield, that is. Zeeble did not spend as much time in the midfield in this game, sort of playing a high half forward role. But Higgins, he was everywhere in this game, scored pretty well. But it's always the second game back for players that always seems to affect the players, whether they're always up and about for that first game and then tire out in the second. Charlie Cameron was up the ground a lot more in this game. Normally he's been playing as that deep forward, but Bundy Christensen was playing that role this week. That's why Cameron didn't score as prolific as he has in the previous weeks. So maybe that's something they're doing, just rotating Cameron and Christensen about. And Jared Lyons, he was a bit of a throwaway in a trade. And that's not from the Gold Coast Suns, that's from the Statesman in our keeper league. But thank you very much, sir. But he's been an absolute bargain for the Brisbane Lions. I don't know what he was doing wrong at the Gold Coast Suns, but it was spoken about ad nauseum on the coverage. But this guy's an absolute star. He's in the middle, he's kicking goals, he's helping out Zorko and Neil. So they've got a really good midfield mix there. And other than that, it was pretty play-by-numbers sort of game.
Not too much to talk about. Hey, Alex Witherden only playing the hashtag nice 69% time on ground in this one. Is there anything too with it? And I think we've all sort of mentioned, I think we were all pretty high on him in the preseason, maybe a bit concerned about Daniel Rich and Hodge and other things in the preseason as well, but it has certainly been affecting him this year. But not playing a huge amount of time on ground in this one, was there anything to that, or is that just how his season's been playing out?
Yeah, I think it's just been how he played out. Didn't cop a knock or anything like that, and I think Daniel Rich's 200th game, they're going to give him all the time and opportunity in the world. And with Rich's booming left kick, he's been the main man this year in that back line.
Yeah. The fact of the Higgins going straight back into the midfield and Zeeble moving forward, it just seems like whichever coach is coaching North, and it has but must be to do with the advanced stats and what he really does and doesn't do when he's playing midfield, that long-term, Zeeble just not really going to be that primary midfielder where he's able to score. And I think that's why I sort of mentioned him last week as a guy I just wasn't comfortable going forward with in a keeper league, Zeeble. But this probably is a sign that he'll keep being that forward that maybe averages, you know, between 80 and 90 for the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, he has shown he can score when playing guts, but I think they like the look of Higgins, Goldstein, and they ran Simkin a lot through the middle as well, so giving the youngster a bit of an opportunity as well. So unfortunately, someone's got to miss out.
All right, Freo Swans with the Statesman and a nail biter, this one.
You honoured the tuck means your team had a loss. You may say, what the fuck? But face facts, you listen to DOS. I think we may have seen the breakout game for Andrew Brayshaw. No Fife meant more mid-time. And he did not disappoint. I would expect probably a 90 average next year if his role continues to grow, which I think it should. Now, speaking of breakouts in future years, gents, I've got a question and a bit of a thought on Chera. Where do you see his role and his scoring capacity in the future? He's averaging below 60 this year again. Is he just going to be a role player? Or will he be a slow burner?
I'll just quickly jump in and say, did you see the article that came out this week regarding Adam Chera and this season? So there was an article, I think it was by someone on AFL.com, saying, you know, last year in his rookie year, he actually was given a heap of time in the midfield. And this year he's only had, you know, 8 centre bounce attendances for the whole year, down from however many he had in his rookie year.
85, I think it was, last year.
Yeah, so like he's down a crap load. He has barely spent time in the midfield. Hashtag conquer out. But I think he does have definitely some potential, but it's going to be hard to judge based on the fact that we haven't seen him in his second year, the year you also expect improvement, and of course the third year, which you flag as well. But it's going to be hard seeing until we've only seen him playing in that role in his rookie year. So it's pretty hard to tell at the moment. What do you think, Steve?
Well, if we look at the way you score, it's like you're either going to be an inside midfielder or an outside midfielder or some mix of both. And you look at the mix Freo have got, right? They've got Nat Fife, so he's not going anywhere for a few years. They've got Andrew Brayshaw. To me, he's the inside midfielder. And you look at the outside, and there's actually some pretty handy outside players. So they've got Brad Hill. They've got Langdon. Like, there's some good players. So there's not a million possessions to go around there. So I quite like Chera, but I think it's just going to be one of those things. It is going to be a slow burn. Like, he could be the most talented player in the world, but he might be the guy they want delivering the ball inside 50. And you know, I look at a Christian Petrarca, and, you know, coaches get frustrated with him because he's such a talented player. He should be scoring more. When he gets the right role, he obviously goes bang. Maybe he's more like that.
Yeah.
Well, with Brad Hill and Langdon touted to be moving back to Victoria, it's going to be interesting to see whether that's where the opportunities come next year.
Well, that'd be huge. That'd be huge. You know, the proof will be in the pudding as to whether that happens or not. And, you know, if they get Tim Kelly or anything like that happens. So it's always about opportunity and internal competition for me with those sort of things. So Andrew Brayshaw next year. The strangest thing is Conker, though, because it was like, oh, Lachie Neale was out. There should be all this world. They've invested pick two in Andrew Brayshaw, and it's former pick six, Reece Conker, who's the beneficiary.
And he's not like old or anything either. So he's like, he's going to be there for a little while. And I think he'll eventually move him down back. But who knows? Like, These young guys have to be breaking down the door. Did you see anything else in that game, Statesman?
No.
I do want to ask you, I don't think it made to the final cut of the pod last week, but Rowbottom, he's on your Sydney team, your fan, and Rowbottom, 81 fantasy, 71 super coach. He's playing limited time on ground, 67% in this one, but he's putting up really nice numbers and has been an option, and people are stashing him in their keepers now. What do you think of him?
I think one of the listeners put in a question about Rowbottom as well, so we'll discuss a little bit more in depth later in the show, but a little bit unsure where he's going to fit in the best 22. His scoring looks very good, so long term it looks healthy, but I'm a little bit unsure about the short term and the mid term of whether he's going to get enough game time or opportunities in the 22, but signs are good.
All right, you also checked out the Geelong-Hawthorn game, Statesman. What did you see there?
Wow. Well, the first talking point is James Sicily. Yes, harder to score when you're up forward, but he's been back in defence for the past 3 or 4 weeks. Did have one good game where he scored 120. Last week it was Grant Birchall that apparently took his role and intercept marks. But there was no Birchall this week, and there was still a poor score. So is this just a yo-yo effect that we should get used to with James Sicily, or just some hashtag variance?
Well, who was in that halfback role that was sucking up all the marks? I saw Howe had all the marks, but...
Yeah, Daniel Howe basically replaced Grant Birchall's role.
I mean, I still like him as a super coach option, but... You know, that's an interesting one. Might be a good time to buy low and a keeper.
Could be. Injury to Jared Impey may provide Daniel Howe a more full-time defensive role, seeing he played it so well this week. Performed well today with a ton. Just one to keep an eye on for positional confirmation next year. So if he gets the next 4 or 5 weeks... will that be enough to tick him off in ultimate footy to actually get defender status? But certainly you can't see Grant Birchall having a long future with the Hawks. Jared Impey looks like he may be out for a long time. We'll have to wait and see what happens with the injury. Why?
Jarman Impey.
I've actually written Jared Impey. That's why.
Well, I mean, if you're talking long term, we know that Scrimshaw's the one they've got earmarked for that role. I mean, is that a kibosh on Sicily? Is that what you're sort of suggesting?
Yeah, and this is, so all of a sudden you're getting all these people coming up that can fill the role. Impey going out does open a space up, but that's a real attacking role, and that's the way they wanted to play that. I don't think that's a Daniel Howe. I think he'll be more of the intercept, so I still think there's a great opportunity for him. But can Scrimshaw play that attacking role? I'm a little bit unsure. So there'll be someone to fulfil that role.
Hey, Statesman, was Wingard back in the midfield again this week? Not great fantasy numbers, but was pretty good on the Supercoach front and in limited time on ground.
Yeah, he's sharing his role around, so he's playing all around the ground, which is that hashtag, which is becoming a pretty important role, high half forward role, which means you get midfield time, but you get to spend time up forward and put some impact on the scoreboard as well, which is what Brodie Smith played this week as well. And it's becoming a role that gives you great scoring potential, because generally... the defenders allowing you to go up the ground further, they'll catch you when you come back. And last but not least, I need to send a message out to hashtag Cam Out. Lukey Dalhouse now needs to average 114 for the remainder of the season to make his 85 average. So Pino's coming my way.
All right, over to Alice Springs and the Melbourne West Coast game. Steve, these Eagles, not as bad a situation as the ones over your way.
No, it wasn't. And it's interesting, Statesman brought up Cam. I forgot all about him.
So did I. Only remembered him because I wrote him down.
You know, one player who's much maligned and had a massive year last year is Jack Darling. And he's really been the difference in the last month. He's been playing some super footy. And I know North Melbourne might not be the easiest matchup after that, but they got a couple games, and you're certainly rostering him if you manage to scoop him up off the waiver wire. And just looking at the West Coast Eagles' key forward stocks, I know he's had a lot of injuries, but JJK just looks totally washed. Like, absolutely washed. And if you're a West Coast fan, I wouldn't despair, because Oscar Allen's actually looked really good. I've watched him in the last few weeks, and he's putting together some form. I know he's young and all that, but it might not be all doom and gloom in the forward line there. But the real talking points for fantasy were on the Demons' side of the ledger, and it was a Bailey Fritch season, SZN, playing as a forward, like basically camped inside 50, leading out, kicked the four goals, rocked you 134, Dream Team, 121 Super Coach, and he was just electric. And who would have thought playing a quick player with a good kick in your forward line was a good move, because he was fantastic. We know Melbourne have had a few key forwards go out of their team. Braden Pruce was playing forward for a lot of the match, but he's just horrible. So I'd expect someone to come in for him. And the other move was Jordan Lewis. We know he's been spending a lot of time in the midfield lately. He also played forward and actually had a massive first quarter, getting on the end of a few marks. The Eagles weren't paying him any respect at all. And he didn't finish with a great score, but he certainly was in the forward line as opposed to the midfield where he'd been the last couple of weeks, much to our chagrin. The man to go back in the midfield was Angus Brayshaw, who rolled out a nice steamy chud of a score yet again. So that was all from the Alice. It looked great out there. I wish I could have been there sinking a few tins on the hill with everyone. But anyway, what a pickup Christian Salem's been. I've had him in my home league. That guy's put out a banger of a year. Always been a tough player to own, but good for him.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Brayshaw, and I think from this week forward, I think we have to say the last time we speak about Angus Brayshaw, because I'm kind of sick of talking about him on the pod. So after this week, why? Unless he goes 140 for the remainder of the home and away season, I think I'm done with Angus. But he tagged in this one, did he not?
Well, sort of. I mean, he laid 9 tackles. He's sort of thereabouts, but I mean, it's hard to tell. He doesn't, I don't know. Man, honestly, I'd be buying super low in a keeper, and he will be one of the draft day steals next year, I promise you.
Yeah. But at the same time, this year, it's...
Oh, look, my opponent in our matchup, he had to win. He benched Brayshaw, and I don't blame him. And it was the right move.
Yeah. Okay, on to the final game of the round. The Brett Ratten Saints up against the Dogs. Jono, what'd you see?
Hashtag Bevo out. No, hashtag Richo out, and the new coach come in. It's a guaranteed win. St Kilda are paying $2.90 at the opening of the markets when Richo was out, so cash coming Jono's way. Thank you very much. Jack Billings, where are we drafting him next year when he is mid-only? Because, it's going to be an interesting to rank him, especially for next year, and it's not something I want to be thinking about right now, but he's been... since the bye rounds, he's been unreal. Knocked out the 110, Dream Team 113, Super Coach, Rowan Marshall, just up against Timmy English. Them two had a really good battle against each other. And as Steve said earlier in the pod, it's three or four guys from the Bulldogs who get the scores done, and the rest are just shit, basically. And again, happened this week. But look, if you're a Bont owner, he did cop a knock at the start of the game and spent a lot of time deep forward. So he spent a large chunk of the, I think, second quarter off the ground there. So that's one to keep an eye on. One who I've got a lot of interest in for next year is Sam Lloyd. He's a midfielder only in Supercoach, but has the forward status in the other formats. But he should get the forward status next year, and he'd be a great F4, F5. You could average you about 85 and can get you a big score. So he's one I'm looking at for next year. Bench Seb Ross because he's freaking hopeless. He is not attending. No, he's not hopeless. He's not playing midfield minutes. Brett Ratten, he's thrown in the likes of Dunstan. Akers was getting mid-time. Gresham was playing the higher half forward role. He was spending time in the midfield playing as the forward as well. So... it looks like Ratten might go with him, whereas Seb Ross was pushed out onto the wing and sort of playing just between the arcs, running up and down. And he was around the ball, but just couldn't get his hands on it. So he's one I'll be fading next year. And that's about it. Sack your coach once you win the prelim and you've got a grand final.
Lipinski, two down games on the trot. What's going on there?
Just didn't really get near the ball today. And the Bulldogs were just off. They couldn't hit a target. They couldn't do anything right. The Saints pressure. They were all over him, causing him the turnover. So that's Lipinski for you. Not playing as much inside mid as well. So again, I'll track the CBA for this and they'll be on the article on Wednesday. So just how much midfield time he's actually getting, we'll see on Wednesday.
All right, and I think that's all we have to deal with there. And with Jack Nunes scoring 53 AFL fantasy points as well, I'm sure there's a lot to catch up for Cam's bet with me as well on the 83.5 over-under that we had on him. All right, moving on. And one more thing I'd just mentioned for the Saints. Jono, we saw Jack Stephen make his VFL return as well on the weekend from his mental health break. So, I mean, if he does come back this year, good on him. But, yeah, who knows what that's going to do to the midfield mix as well. Brett Ratten, maybe pop him in
and
there.
And if they get Hanbury fit too, who the hell knows?
Yeah, exactly. Lots to look out for the Saints in the next few weeks. Waiver wire pickups, Captain Risky, and your listener questions still to come. But, Jono, we haven't got the 230 iTunes ratings just yet, which means you're safe this week and don't have to eat the world's hottest corn chip, do the dance, and shove your face in peanut butter. For now, anyway.
Only the 216 ratings, 14 more to go. The 230? Yeah, 230. Just the one review this week. It's from Swanabees. He says, required listening for draft coaches. Thank you, Swanabees. Short and sweet, and keep those ratings and reviews coming through, and I'll do all three of them all at once. Put hot chips in peanut butter and have a laugh. But Statesman, you will be up next. That's for sure.
Awesome. All right, now we'll discuss our waiver wire pickups for the week, only using players with under 65% ownership in Ultimate Footy. Jono, what are your waiver wire pickups for this week?
I got a couple of Supercoach ones hot off the press. Handsome Tom Lynch, 57% ownership. Might be a little bit higher if you do play Supercoach up against the depleted Collingwood defence next week. Do they bring the Sharon Goat in?
They don't bring the fucking Sharon Goat in, you should have seen every social media post Collingwood put up. Apparently, if Scharenberg was playing and not Flynn Appleby, whatever that is, I think it's a new premix you can buy down at the Bottle-O. If he was playing instead of that particular person, they would have covered the 8 goals they lost by. Give it a spell.
And Ben Crocker copped a bit of a fair spray too. I think kicked 2 goals and still ended up in negative fantasy points.
What's the most strange thing about that is that they weren't talking about his shit tats.
I was just reading the social media after the game.
He was probably their leading goal kicker, Ben Crocker. He kicked 2.
Quite possibly. Yeah, big handsome. As we saw Jeremy Cameron go full ham against the Pies defence. Another super coach one. You got Harris Andrews, 34% ownership. We do know they're playing the Hawks this week, and key defenders against the Hawks is generally a sure thing. Doss. They only played about 8 weeks ago, and what happened? Andrews went full ham. Darcy Gardner is available at 8%, but I would not be waiver wiring for him. And we also saw defenders against the Suns as a sure thing. Essendon this week, you've got Adam Sard at 63%, Connor McKenna at 37%, and dare I say it, Mason Redmond.
Yes, you dare say it. Yes, you dare say it.
They're my waiver wire pickups.
All right, Steve, what do you got? Lead us off. You can say Mason Redmond again if you really want. That's all right.
Yeah, no, I won't be saying that. That's insane. Waivers, Mitch Brown. Sorry, I wasn't actually listening to Jono. We've just had our Supercoach results come through and I've knocked a guy out of the finals and I've just been memeing the shit out of him. So suck it, Wrath. Suck it. So if I repeat anything, that's why. Sorry, hey, listeners, look, we're like you. We hate our league mates just as much as you do. Mitch Brown, 35% ownership versus the Suns. You'd have to think he's a lay-down Mazaire to kick at least whatever the Great Western team kicked against the Eagles. basically any Essendon player against the Gold Coast Suns because they just seem like they're totally washed. Liam Jones. That's right. I'd be rolling out Liam Jones versus the Adelaide Crows. It's been a really good matchup. He's only 2% owned on Ultimate. Definitely more of a Supercoach play. And the better Hayden McLean, rocking that 11% ownership. Spells his name the correct way. Just a great bloke. So it's a nice touch.
He is the superior DOS. And so he was playing pure ruck in that role. I don't think you mentioned that, Statesman. Was he in the ruck? I didn't see this game.
Yes, he certainly was. But if you have a look at his scoring, his second half was pretty poor.
Eight tackles.
I don't know if we're going to see a lot of him, to be honest. He is down in the pecking order. Obviously, they're missing quite a few now. But he's certainly one I wouldn't be running with for the long term.
You're trying to say I'm the superior DOS. I get it, Statesman. It's fine. What are your waiver wire pickers for the week too, Statesman?
I just wanted to add Jack Aloney, St Kilda. We have got a question from one of our listeners in regards to who are the players that are going to get bumps with the new coaches. And he's certainly one that has the potential. 114 this week. He's been starved of opportunities. Let's see if this is a start for a run with him with Rats as his coach. Only 31% owned.
Got a couple extra as well, just, you know, scraping the barrel here, but you got Lockie Plowman at 22%. Mark Blitzarv still 62%. We know he doesn't have the nicer role in the ruck anymore, and he did play against the defence of the Hawks this week, so don't hold your breath too much for the big scores. But, yeah, he's only had that one bad score in the last 5 weeks, so hopefully he can continue strong home. And Harry Mackay, if that wasn't already said. If you're desperate, not the worst option, could bang out a huge score, but expect a roller coaster from him. So a few trade deadlines would have passed by the time this podcast is released, but there's still plenty of different league settings going around. And Stevie Fizz, you have a trade of the week for us.
I'm trading out, if I can, Dyson Heppel. I think he's, like, and his score wasn't too bad. We know he's carrying that foot injury, and his score this week was heavily, heavily masked by a very good last quarter where he put it all on the line. I would expect him to miss against the Suns. They probably don't need him to get over the line in that game. So he is certainly a candidate to miss. We know he's on the table as a consideration to miss the rest of the year with surgery. So I'd be pissing him off pretty quick if I could to some poor unsuspecting schlub.
Now a captain risky with the Statesman. This is a captain option outside those obvious Grundy-esque picks. Oh, it's with Jono, is it? Is that what we're saying? Who is your captain risky pick for round 19, Statesman? Oh, I see what you're showing. You're showing me the score, and we're not talking about salary cap. We've already talked about this, Statesman. Captain risky for round 19. Who is it?
Well, it's fair to say that I toot my own horn whenever I possibly can. But with that comes some accountability. So hopefully this Captain Risky does a little bit better than last week's, seeing last week's Captain Risky and Shannon Hearn decided not even to play, let alone put a decent score up. So this week we're going against the theory of the Essendon Rucks, not a very good little unit at the moment without the Tommy Bell Chambers, great Tassie boy. So up against Essendon this week is Jared Witts. So it's a juicy matchup, and I do expect to see a 125 plus this week for Jared Witts.
If you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctors website to find the Statesman Skippers article. You can also find a bunch of other articles to help your draft teams, including the injury report, a dozen deals by Sam Porter, Jono's late week pickups, which you just said before that they nailed them last week on those forward streams, and our Wednesday CBAs article looking at all the centre bounce attendances from the weekend. So for all your AFL and Supercoach needs, go to thedraftdoctors.com.au. Now to our listener questions from social media, and you can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or find us on Facebook and Instagram. This first question from Brennan, one for Stato. Of the clubs with new coaches, which young players have been given new roles that could potentially set them up for a boost in 2020 or even a fall? For example, Matt Kennedy and Paddy Dow have been moved out of the mids into small forward roles, equals a fall for mine. And he's talking from a keeper perspective, Statesman.
Yes, well, you picked Paddy Dow, so that was a fall for mine as well. To be honest, when we're talking about the coaches, it's a little bit hard to tell because what we're seeing now is little sample sizes. And the most important part is if we don't know that those coaches are going to be coaching them next year. Now, there is those that are saying probably the North Melbourne gig is already sorted out. There are some at Carlton that wish the training wheels remains. And of course, Brett Ratton has got credentials as well. So there is the possibility that all three might be caretaker coaches at their new home already. But I'll go through a couple that I've seen change their roles or shown a little bit or will get greater opportunity. I think the most important thing is that it should be players that just haven't been given enough time or enough games that we already knew had talent. That's the key thing, because a new coach will come in, probably get rid of a bit of the dead wood, so the older players, and actually give the young players a bit of a chance. Probably been a little bit different at Carlton because they've actually just given the old blokes more of an opportunity to shine in the midfield. But Sam Petrescu-Seaton has this week found himself in a role in the halfback flank that seemed to suit his skill set. So we've got him now as a mid-forward. He's averaging around the 80 mark. Very highly regarded player. But if he also finds himself on the halfback flank, that defender status will go very well with a highly talented player who can spend some time in the midfield. So that's a great option for him. I would expect for Carlton that we'd see Zach Fisher and Lockie O'Brien get a few more opportunities. And when they have been given the right roles, they've certainly shown the capability of scoring. With North Melbourne, it's two actual forwards at the moment in Zerha and Simpkin that have been backed in at North with the new coach. And we're seeing certainly a spike in their scoring. So I can only see that improving as the seasons continue. And very early days at the Saints, but Loney and Clark, who had been challenged a little bit with the previous coach as well, will be given greater roles. So they have got the potential to have a bit of a spike. A little bit unsure on any more players at the Saints, but there was a bit of alarming with a couple of the senior players. It'd be interesting to see what you thought of Jack Steele's role today, Doss. Was there something different there? Tagging and obviously the Ross as well. So it sounds like from that he was actually spending more time being defensive rather than his normal role, which was more of a run with rather than a tag.
Yeah, and I think Jono and I talked off air as well, and we were trying to think back to what the Rat was doing in prime Ratton coaching back in the day, and we were kind of thinking I think he rolled at times with multiple taggers, so I wouldn't be too happy going forward with Steele necessarily, unless we see him start to get off the leash a bit more. But yeah, those names you mentioned are pretty solid young options as well. I think Caulfield showed a bit today, to be honest. Definitely butchered the ball a few times, but I thought he looked pretty good in this one. And Paddy Dow, you're not looking at it the right way. He's now got the forward status for another year, and he's going to be in the guts very soon. Get around him. Next question.
I've been desperately wanting a 45 average forward in my team.
All right, this is a keeper question from Adam. Premiership contending team with stacked mids. What order do you place the following if mid only for next year? Oh boy, there's a lot of names here. I think Steve has commented here. Do you want me to go through all the names? There is a stack of names. What are we going to do?
It's 15. It's 15, Adam.
Titch number one.
All right. Just give me your top five. So yeah, out of these.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it. Do the other ones and we'll come back to
it. All right, we'll come back first. All right,
if
Russ,
the show's not over an hour, we'll come back to it.
All right, Russ, how devo are you guys about Bevo getting a contract extension? Let's go straight to Jono for this one. Jono, what do you reckon?
Real football terms, questionable fantasy football terms. It's okay because he's been playing players in position, so I'm fine with it, unless he has another brain fart and decides to put Liver in the ruck or something like that.
Or Bailey Williams in the team.
Oh, come on, Steve. James, been flying, but finals start next week, and I've had injuries to Wines, Cogs, and Josh Kelly. Who are the best loophole slash stream options in the midfield? Don't know if I can trust Hugh Greenwood, he says. What are our options here, guys? I mean, it's very leg dependent, obviously, but is there anyone sitting there that you think in the midfield?
Look, I think it's really hard to be, you know, it's obviously going to be league specific as to who's available and all that sort of thing. General rule that I think's been working pretty well is outside midfielders against the Gold Coast Suns. So this week you're looking at the Bombers, maybe a Langford type if he gets named. But yeah, look, I kind of like Greenwood, but
I actually think in unless it's a shallow league, there's really not many midfielders out there, to be honest. So it'll probably be using a DPP player and actually try and stream or pick up a defender or a forward. I think that's the most likely the best option that you're actually going to get. I use our 12-team keeper league, and there's not a midfielder to be found worth it. Paddy Dow's probably the highest averaging midfielder there.
Tell you what, that's good. 30. If Daniel Howe continues that same role, he's listed as a midfielder. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep, absolutely. There you go.
He was a late in, though. That's not.
Yeah, but Jarman Impey's leg snapped in half. So
Jared Impey's
leg snapped in half.
All right, well, Rowbottom could be one of those options, and he's in the next question. Thoughts from TWR. Thoughts on keeping Rowbottom in a 14-team, 15-keeper league, Statesman? What do you think?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, your keepers need to be on your balance. So we could say yes, but if you're dropping a Callum Mills from the defence or Sam Petrevsky Seaton out of your forward line, it's probably not worthwhile. So I think it's a borderline with 14 and 15. Scoring potential looks pretty healthy. As I said, I'm not quite sure he's in the best 22 at this stage, but certainly we've seen some promising signs. I would actually monitor the retirements and trade outs in the off season before you make your call, depending on what your league rules are, because if one or two spots JPK retires and they don't bring in any other midfielders, then I would say that he looks pretty certain to get a good shot next year.
Just in one word, the name. Can you, as a Sydney fan, you've seen a few games, I'm sure. Can you give us his upside in the form of a player comparison, Rowbottom?
Oh, wow. No, not yet.
Right. Dylan says, too late for the pod, I'm sure. It's not too late. What has happened to Lipinski's role? Jono, you sort of mentioned it a little bit before, but you'll probably find a bit more out about that once you look at the CBAs. But he never was really attending any anyway. He was just playing as an outside sort of mid and that high half forward role that Statesman's been harping on about.
And Libba's back too as well. I forgot Libba was back this week. Didn't do too much. So that's going to throw him out and he'll just be a floater, basically.
All right. Steve asks, not our Steve. This is Steve Canton. Forwards by far the hardest spot to fill this year. So barring any Supercoach scoring changes, any young grommets worth stashing away for next year? Keep up the great work, chaps.
Oh, Gallucci.
Fisher.
SBS.
Possibly Neil Bullen.
Oh, God, I hate Neil Bullen.
Paddy Dow.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Paddy Dow.
Petrovsky Seaton.
Waterman.
Cameron. Both of them.
I mean, is Himmelberg being kept already?
Question.
You wouldn't have thought so.
I know.
Larky.
Right. Yeah, there's a few names.
You don't want to keep those tall forwards, though, I guess.
The answer's got to be Paddy Dow, super coach. Michael, thoughts on Brayshaw from Fremantle to finish the season strong?
I thought Todd Marshall. Sorry, just to go back to the other one, I thought Todd Marshall's a good one. Like, Westhoff's not going to go around forever. Yeah. Like,
agreed.
They put Frampton in ahead of him, or
no? Well, I mean, they've been playing Howard, but
Howard. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Particularly if Fife misses more games on the run home. That's Michael asking his thoughts on Brayshaw from Fremantle finishing the season strong, so continuing this high scoring that he's done the last couple of weeks with less midfield to worry about the Fife out.
Giddy up. Next year, there will be T-shirts saying Brayshaw season.
But we'll have to do them purple. Maybe not for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I know. I'm all about it. If he misses, get on it.
Can it be purple, white, and that green colour that they were originally? That'd be better.
Oh, they look so good, those throwback jerseys, don't they?
Yes, yeah. The big anchor in the middle.
Matt Clark, if Geelong remain a couple of games clear on top, is there any chance they rest key players in round 23 when fantasy finals occur? Well, when some fantasy finals occur, I think, Steve, you're a bit of an advocate of not going the round 23 option, are you?
Yeah, I am. But in this particular instance, I don't think they'll rest in round 23 because, as we know, the AFL have brought in the bye before the finals. But the Cats do have back-to-back road trips in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so might be something there.
And they're really struggling at the moment too. So Ablett, Selwood, Scott Selwood's been listed as that emergency for a couple of weeks now. So, you know, Geelong, they like to throw in a late shifty. So just be mindful of that one coming up too.
That's the problem with Geelong, is it's always a late one, isn't it?
Mm.
All right, and quickly back to that question from Adam. And these are all the names that he wants us to rank. So Titchell, Brad Crouch, Rocky, Dunkley, The Bont, Heppel, Sidebottom, Brayshaw, Brody, Graham, Bowes, Brandon Ellis, Jade Gresham, Darcy McPherson, and Guthrie. I can't remember.
Yes, is the answer.
What's his name? I keep thinking Zach Guthrie. That's his bro. Cam Guthrie. Cam, I forgot about the name.
It's such an easy name.
What's this a keeper?
He says, order away based on how you'd balance that midfield group moving into next year. Realistically, he'll keep 9 to 10 of them and look to trade out the others.
You've already said Jack Graham. Wow. Yeah. You've already said Jack Graham, you don't like Heppel as well. Oh, that was for this year.
Just for this year.
Can't keep Guthrie either.
Wouldn't have thought so. He's pretty... Mm.
Brandon Ellis, can't keep him. McPherson, I like a lot. He'll probably keep forward status, though.
Rank away. Yeah. Give me... it depends which Brayshaw it is, but give me Titch, Dunkley, Brad Crouch.
Bont.
Probably Brayshaw. Bont, Brayshaw. Then probably your old boys.
Rocky, Heppel.
I'd say Rocky, then Sidey, then Heppel.
Sidey, Heppel, Rocky for me, and Brody.
Then Bowes, then McPherson. No, maybe Gresham in front of McPherson.
I like Gresham's role going forward.
Yeah, they got too many dudes, man. But just Graham and Guthrie and Brandon Ellis have got to be at the end of that list, surely.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, well, that was all the questions. Statesman, you've got one more thing to touch on.
Well, I did ask a question during the week. Thanks for taking notice, Doss. I appreciate that. I did put a general tweet about footy, and I mentioned that I was a footy purist. So it got me thinking throughout the day, and then I thought, well, actually, what is a footy purist? So I actually asked the question to our listeners and did get quite a few responses. I'll just read out a couple of them, but there was the best one by a long way. So obviously I wanted a little bit of humour. Genuine Class mentioned spelling purist correctly, which was actually on point, so well picked up, sir. We got Big Cox. You think that a pig is a farm animal? That's a football purist. Archie, anyone that decries any rule change as the death of the game is a football purist. Rob, the Rain Man, great Tassie man, also does a bit on the coaches panel, that you only select players that wear black boots is a football purist. Damon Lancaster, the football equivalent of someone that believes it's only real music if it's played on vinyl. You would know what vinyl is, would you, Doss? But the best response was from Ben and Chris from Supercoach Insider. A football purist is someone that only dates in the off-season.
Nice.
Very good. And speaking of black boots, Dossie, the proud representative of the new X blade. I didn't even know there was a brand, but I've gone and found the special. I needed the longer studs for the late season. I'm now the brand ambassador for X blades. Get around the boot. All right, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. Steve, any final thoughts heading into these final weeks of the fantasy season?
I am the anti-football purist. That's about all I'd say about that. If it wasn't for fantasy, I wouldn't watch it.
What about The Lion King? You going to go see that?
No. Oh.
Spoiler alert, they die.
Poor Baby Fizz missing out on The Lion
King. No, well, Baby Fizz doesn't even get to watch TV. Like, here and there, she gets a little bit, but no, there's none of that shit. No.
Well, when she's got Bailey the Bulldog as
she gets
the book
books.
She can read.
Yeah, that's... We read. Hey, how are the pictures going, Doss, by the way?
I got two Christmas.
TikTok.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe, leave a rating and review. Let's get that to 230, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.